All right. Well, we have a great privilege tonight, and that is to hear some testimonies of fourth years. Anybody want to hear some testimonies of fourth years here? Amen. Let me say this. The fourth year class, I told them this at our fourth year banquet. They have carried the baton with excellence. Their fingerprints are all over the baton of Chi Alpha, and they have ran it down the field harder and faster than any other people that I've known. And they've taken it further than it's ever been, and we've gone deeper than we've ever gone. And can I tell you, as the director of Chi Alpha, thank you. Thank you for making us who we are. Like I said before, Chi Alpha isn't Chi Alpha because of Pete Buellette or Josh Moran or Josh Ferris and the rest of the staff. It is we are who we are. Because of you guys who live it out 24/7, live in real community, real devotional life with real responsibility, and you're making an impact. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're here a little bit from fourth years, and Josh is going to come close it out. So the first one we're going to hear from tonight is Betty. Come on up, Betty.
Wasn't expecting to be first, but that's okay. So, God is good. Worship was awesome, and yeah. With that, so coming into UVA, I was not looking for a Christian fellowship. That was the last thing on my mind. I would have called myself a Christian, but that was it. I would see, like, the Chi Alpha chalking signs everywhere. I'll be like, no interest. But so anyway, I lived on a hall with Devin Bruce, if any of you guys know. And this was near the end, spring semester. I knew that there was something different about her, and I knew that she was really involved in Chi Alpha. So I asked her to go to one of her small groups. And so she brought me and also invited me to M&L, and just, like, being in, like, a core group, I was like, it just feels so different. Like, these people are real. So my next year, second year, I decided to commit myself to a core group and M&L to just, like, try it. And I met up with Julia Robertson. And at first I was like, oh, this girl's cool. She just wants to, like, hang out every week. It was good. But then she started wanting to go deeper. She started asking real questions. And I was really intimidated because I never had that sort of relationship. I'm used to, like, pretending, or I'm used to, like, putting off being happy-go-lucky and joyful. But up till then, I never had that sort of relationship. My family came close, but it's different just being, like, in a college setting. But once I, like, once I became vulnerable with her, and with my new core group, the floodgates opened. Like, that really opened the door for my relationship with the Lord. I became more intimate with him. I started asking him questions, honest questions, and he just started tearing down walls that I've had for all my life, wounds that... Yeah, I just started, like, healing wounds. And, yeah, since then I've just been growing in my relationship with the Lord. And over winter break, I went to Passion, and we went over Ephesians. And this semester, Ephesians 2:14 has been, like, on my heart. I'll read it. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. And with that, I feel like God has really given me a heart to just be aware that there is no more hostility between us. That's the gospel. So I have really become more intentional in just living out authentic community, being honest, being vulnerable with not just people in Chi Alpha, but my family. I've seen such drastic changes in my family, my siblings, and my relationships outside of Chi Alpha. So, like, after I graduate, like, I'm really excited to, like, join a new community, start being a light in the marketplace, and in my church, and hopefully in my like future family. So thank you guys for being the model of authentic community.
Thanks, Betty. It's awesome. I love to hear the ripple effects from here into families. That's so awesome. Next, we have Mr. Clay Cundiff. Why don't you come on up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Oh, wow, that was really loud. Got my moose here from our core group. We're called Moose, so they got a moose for us. He's not going to stay. He wouldn't stay. So 2 years ago, I remember I was walking through the engineering parking lot, and I was walking with Pete, and Pete, we were talking about Shout House, and he told me that he thought I should live there because it changed a lot of people's lives, and I was like, I'm gonna pray about it some more. And I had no idea. And the other night, I was talking to one of the guys that I live with named Lewis, who is a lucky man right now. And I can't tell you why, though. Ask him. But he and I were talking, and it just hit me as I was talking with him that this community is so unique. I've thought about it almost like an incubator of sorts for the future and what God wants to do with just the vision that it has of touching the world through all the people that connect in this one spot. But it just kind of hit me that night as we were talking that I can't imagine that the disciples community didn't look almost exactly like this. And what you get here through core groups, through houses, through living together, loving together, dying together, eating together. If you get to live with someone like Jesse, you get bread and tea all the time. So you literally get to break bread with them like they did. And we've had conversations in core groups and all sorts of odd house meetings that I think we made stuff up, but reasons to meet, rather. And, man, it's changed every part of me. Probably more than anything else that I know, save the word and prayer, God has used core groups and just fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ to just show me what the tiny little things of life look like when we're walking with Jesus. What does it look like to watch television as a guy? What does it look like? Before Ben Duran, I never knew that I should just look away at certain things. And, just before different people got involved in my life, man, community, this just redefined what I thought of about friends. As I grew up, I just didn't have a lot of, I had good friends, I had great friends, but this is a whole nother level. I've found brothers and sisters that run deeper than any friendship that I'd ever known. And we've talked about money, we've talked about family, we've talked about Jesus, we've argued theology, Robbie, and man, God has just blessed so much, and I don't even know how to recommend that, but to keep going deeper, like Pete's been saying, to just keep go deeper. And as I pushed deeper and deeper, I just found God gets bigger, and so do your friendships, and so does the family that you get involved with. And I think I'm a little shy on time, so I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. I remember that conversation, Clay. It's awesome. Awesome to hear. Next, we have Lin Wu from Taiwan going to come share.
Thank you. I came from Taiwan at 18 just for college, and I came in as a Buddhist, so I had no intention in joining a Christian fellowship. But I think over these years, Chi Alpha, I'll just say the two things out of many that Chi Alpha has taught me. One is the sense of community, and the second is to how to love people. So my first year core group know that I had no intention of making friends my first year. Like, I really don't. I seriously came here to get a college education. So they would invite me to, they live on my hall, they would invite me to 5 events and I'll come to 1 and hate it so much. And but they never gave up and just kept inviting me to core groups and other events. And so I gave my life to Christ first year, second semester. And just looking back these four years, I know I've taken Chi Alpha for granted, but how great it is that we get to come together on Monday nights to sing, to worship, to pray together, and how great it is that we get to go to hold downs and semi-formals and to just have fun together and meet people and hear about what God has done in their lives. And then how great it is that we have core groups to develop deep friendships, to be encouraged, to be held accountable, and to say God is real when we see sufferings, when we see injustice, when we don't understand why things happen, but we see what God has transformed and blessed people's lives. I'm just so blessed to have been in Chi Alpha for 4 years. And then second, Chi Alpha taught me how to love on people. My father is a very strong Buddhist, and he still is, and he used to tell me, Christianity cannot be true because you can't love your neighbor as yourself. How can you care about your neighbor as much as yourself, as your family? But over these years, I realized that love people means being there for people, to support them, to be friendly, to have grace on people, even when you don't know them that well, even though they have completely different personalities. You're there to support and to be there for them. And that's how we love people. I feel like I just took that 15-hour flight to come to the U.S. But thank you, everyone in Chi Alpha. Thank you, Pete. Thank you, every step. And I'm ready to take everything Chi Alpha has given me back to Taiwan. Thank you.
Yes, Lord, I'll be a campus minister. it's make you sign up all over again. Wow, I love hearing the stories. Well, our final story tonight is from our president this year. Will you guys welcome Mr. President Taylor McNally?
What's up, guys? Hey, so my name is Taylor. And I'm thankful to look around the room and I think recognize and know most faces. And so what I'm going to say is not too different from what these guys have said. But I'd like to say it anyway and just let you guys know a little bit about my experience with Chi Alpha as an undergrad. Man, it's been awesome. And I guess I'm not one who's great with conclusions or even processing things in the moment. So even this, thinking about the last M&L and things like that, they don't hit me till quite a bit while later. These are things that I have been thinking about over the past week and probably just a snapshot into kind of my experience here, largely defined by Chi Alpha. So I'll start by saying this. Man, it's been all about the community. That's been thrown around quite a bit by a couple people here. It kind of came to my mind one day, mainly because when I'd go home or see friends who don't go to UVA, people would ask, like, how's college? How's UVA? What's going on? And my mind jumps immediately to things of Chi Alpha and kind of secondly to the things of my classes and those kind of things. So I realized quickly that I felt like I was a student at UVA Chi Alpha, and then if I have time, I go to class, which this semester has largely been true. Even if I have time. Okay, so, man, I've been blessed just to be a part of some awesome communities, doing life together. I think we've heard that thrown around a lot. My first year, got to be in a core group led by John Millspaugh, Bobby Pearson, Ryan Levis, with these guys right here, with a lot of the Camp Hope guys. And, man, that's just pervaded through everything, defined my college experience completely. My second year and third year, got to hang out with the Chi Alpha Males guys. These are some of the closest relationships I have with these guys. And then my fourth year core group, the Man Club. It's just been awesome. And so I thought I would tell you guys a few specifics from the years. So these aren't, so if I say your name, I hope that's cool with you. And then no, this isn't the only way I see you. These are just some things that come to mind when I think about you, okay? So this isn't like the defining thing in my mind, but it's all good stuff. So because of community, these are just things that I have, you kind of hear like, what would Jesus do? Well, in a lot of situations, I kind of think, what would so-and-so do? You know, what would Barrett do? What would Shane do? What would anybody do in specific situations? And so these are some things I think of and have really stuck with me as I kind of go throughout each day. Andrew Kim, he's taught me a lot about the boldness in sharing Christ. That guy goes to the lawn every Friday and shares Christ. He's taught me how to study in Clark Library. That's pretty important. And he's taught me the importance of a good butt slap. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah? No, gender to gender, I think, is the best way to do it. At least that's what he taught me. So, Nathan Moberly, this guy can pray the walls down. When I think of praying, I want to pray like Nathan. And he's taught me how to throw a pretty wicked hammer in Frisbee. If you need it, that guy knows how. Nathan Schuler, this guy, have you ever heard of the Schuler Deadly 7? When you go to the gym, you should ask him about it. This guy could, yeah, or the Phil Reins World Changers. These things have rocked my world. just ask those guys, man. They'll tell you. Those guys can give you a good ab workout. Thomas Oakes, man, you've taught me the importance of a good mind-clearing run. I don't know where you're out there, but we've been on a couple of those. And, man, I see those as pretty important these days. This is a guy, some of you guys might know, Austin Mitchell. He taught me the importance of just starting a conversation with somebody. He was the first guy in Chi Alpha who, at a Chi Alpha event, started a conversation with me. And, I remember just kind of, that had a huge impact on me. John Millspaugh taught me the importance of making much of somebody. Just kind of making a big deal of them before I was even a student. Sammy Stalkup taught me how to tell a good story, you know? That guy can do it. living in the Bun Ratty my second year, learn the importance and necessity of a good prank war in your life. It's kind of a good foundation. VLB for anyone out there. Amy Hannon, you taught me that not all Broncos fans are Broncos fans. Some are just Tebow fans. The list just goes on. The Chateau, you guys taught me a really good prank. Taking the labels off of cans is really good. I actually still have some that are unlabeled. I'm afraid to eat because of this. There's so many, basically the point of this is I've learned so many lessons through you guys. And it's just through doing life together and being intentional in relationships. Jackie Foster one time, she said this, and it's just really stuck with me. Joy is not a product of comfort, but of purpose. Barrett, man, there's a ton of things I've learned through you, and a couple that popped in my head today is hurry kills the soul. And I've seen him exemplify this, not living a hurried life, the importance of remembering what the Lord has done in our lives, and also the importance of a good YouTube video. Pete, this is too many to count, but here's a couple that come to mind immediately. Heard a message my first year. He said, when will your barns be big enough? Talking about money. So just hearing your messages and the way that you interpret the word has changed the way I view money, the way I view relationships, my time with God. You got the dry cereal stage, the meat and potatoes, stuff like that. Prayer, man, learning how to pray, learn from this guy. Walking through family, tough family times with this guy. learning that my walk with the Lord is a restful pursuit. These have all just been with conversations with Pete outside of any formalized setting. And, man, it's been so rich. Christian Rawl, first year in O Hill. I remember, I don't even know if you remember this, man, but you shared Jeremiah 17 with me. That chapter, talking about a man being firmly planted like a tree by a stream of water. Dude, I've had that in my hanging in my room since the second year, right above my desk. And day after day, I read that thing. So thanks, man. Justin Kim, dude, too good. VLB. been through the gauntlet with this guy. Man, I've seen the importance of faithfulness, honesty, friendship, the power of affirming words through this guy, and what DTR really stands for. Clay and I have walked through classes together for the past years, it feels like. It's been awesome. And this guy, man, this guy knows discipline like no one else. Man, Jay Show, working hard in my classes. Jonathan's the guy who would make me, like, review the homework or compare answers, you know, when I was just like, dude, I got an answer. I'm good. Andy Gordon, man, the consistency with which you are disciplined to go to the gym. I love it. I love it. I've learned a lot from this guy about that, man. Waking up early if you don't feel like it. All right, I got to see which ones I've already said. All right, Jeremy Kim, man, this one's behind the scenes. But guys, Jeremy Kim cleans up after M&L. There's others who do as well. But Jeremy is one that I notice, and he serves so humbly. This guy serves behind the scenes day after day. So, man, I've learned a lot about servanthood from just kind of seeing you do that week after week. So you were the man. Robbie, man, I've seen the way you've led this worship team and just kind of taken it from where the baton analogy, where it was given to you and passed on. Man, I've seen you display what it means to lead a team with excellence. And you've also taught me the incredible importance of Seinfeld and its role in life. Man, Stephen, man, how to work hard and be disciplined. This guy works harder than anyone I know, man, and it pays off. He knows what he's standing for, and he's not gonna let that slack, and I love that. It's something I think I could learn some more from. It's another guy who graduated, Ryan Levis, man, just a guy filled with wisdom. Only overlapped with him for 2 years, but the impact still lasts today. Alex, man, it's been a joy living with you this year, and just fresh passion, having fresh passion come into life for the gospel and creative ideas as to, like, good things to do with core group, good things to do just for fun. Dude, the man club, I mentioned these guys. These guys have really kind of defined this year for me, and man, just showed me a good time. We've played so many IMs, done so many awesome things, had so many good core groups, and really just the importance of being honest with each other. Michael Crawley, man, had the blessing of leading with that guy this semester, this year. And this guy knows how to stay intentional even when things get really busy. Basically, I forget about a lot of things that I should be doing because my mind gets stuck on other stuff. And this guy is just he doesn't forget about these things, man. He prioritizes core group. He prioritizes the people in his life. And the awesome reminders of that this year through him. Also lead with Nate Hersher. And man, this guy knows the word like no other. You can probably just say like a book of the Bible and he's got like two chapters memorized somewhere in it. And he'll just be able to spout it for you. And this guy makes very, very well thought out decisions. And then two other guys who I live with in Camp Hope, Colin, man, this guy never sleeps, but he is faithful. He is faithful to the things he is involved in, and just an absolute all-star. And so, yeah, I appreciate the way that he's able to prioritize things over even his own sleep and friends and core group and his schoolwork. And then and Josh, man, I don't know if I've ever told you this exactly, but, dude, the way you prioritize your family is awesome, and that's something I want to implement now, but even in the future. And I've just seen that consistently since we've been in college. So those are some examples, guys. I think as I look around the room, there's so many more stories. But these are ways that I have seen God, I guess, teach me things. And so I have no incredible major conclusions from this, except that, man, pursuing the Lord, I guess with the theme of this semester, it's worth it. I come to the end of my 4 years, and I know the Lord so much better today because of you guys and doing life together. That comes through intentionality. That's something I've learned a lot. That comes through intentionality. It doesn't just happen. And but man, it's so worth it. And doing that together is the best way. So much different than doing it alone. So yeah, kind of, I guess maybe a theme if I had to throw it on my college career is learning to walk with the Lord day by day by day. Not necessarily in the highs or the lows, but, you know, waking up each day and learning what it is to die to yourself there. And you guys have shown me that. So, man, what it is to live intentionally, love intentionally. I heard someone say in this past semester that loving each other well is it's even kind of a form of spiritual warfare, like fighting well for each other. I think that's something the enemy can use in our lives. And man, I've seen that in my own heart sometimes, just disunity or just like a kind of a spirit of disagreement. And so I would encourage you guys, as you walk through, I don't know if you're graduating or not, but man, let's fight, like fighting to be unified, to be of like mind. We're on the same team. You know, we have the same purpose. And man, it's so worth marching forward with a mind of unity rather than one of disunity. So yeah, trusting each other, being unified in our purpose. The Bible says, spur one another on toward loving good deeds. And you guys have done that for me, so thank you. This was the first core group lesson that my core group leaders ever gave my first year. They talked about a cord of three strands not being quickly broken. There's something like 400 people in this room. That's a lot of strands. So, yeah, man, guys, I appreciate you, and I thank you for the ways that you've exemplified Christ in your lives. And, yeah, that's about all I have to say, man. We serve a faithful God, and I appreciate him letting me overlap with you guys here for a while.
Well, if we could sum up this year in a couple phrases, I would say they're probably this. Let's sync with Christ and remember he's worth it all. Does that sound all right? Stay anchored. Yeah. Thank you guys for sharing your stories. Wow. How the Lord has been at work in all of your stories. I think, can't you find yourself somewhere in one of those stories? Like, say, that's me. And it's awesome to hear. So thank you for sharing your hearts with us tonight. Josh Moran, a guy that is somebody that I love dearly and appreciate greatly, is going to come and give an exhortation to close us out. All right, will you welcome Josh?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say after that. After hearing stories, seeing faces down here in the front row that I've had the privilege of journeying with for 4 years, for a year, for 2 years, for however long it's been, this is always a very bittersweet time of year, but man, I'm excited about what God's doing. I'm excited about what God's done. And I'm excited about tonight, about being able to share with you. We've been in a series called Anchored, where we looked at real devotional life, real community, and tonight we're going to take a look at real responsibility. Last week, Pete shared a story where he met a guy for lunch, and as he talked with him, the anchors came out. I was like, man, sometimes, I don't know if you guys wonder this, but sometimes you wonder if preachers kind of make up the stories to go with the message. Sometimes I wonder that, and I may have wondered it a little bit about Pete's story last week, but I didn't tell him that yet. So Pete, I wondered that a little bit last week, but then I got up the next morning, got up Tuesday morning, I went over to the Darden School to meet with a dean of some sort. It's of no matter, really, and he and I were talking, and at the end of our conversation, he said, "Can I pray for us, Josh?" And I said, "Yeah, let's pray." He goes to pray, and no joke, he prayed the anchors. Like, God, I thank you for my brother Josh. I pray that you would help both of us have a devotional life. And God, I pray that that devotional life would be lived out in community. And God, I just pray that as we're in community, that Josh and I would both take responsibility. And I'm like, really? Is this happening? And I was like, this is awesome. Like, it was exciting because it was like, we are really tapping into something. It's not just something that we made up. It's not just something I made up, not something Pete made up. This is the Christian life. And I firmly believe that these three things, these three anchors, will be what will anchor you for your time at UVA, be that 2 weeks, be that 3 more years. But much more than that, I believe that these three anchors will anchor you for the rest of your life and into eternity. So as we take a look tonight at real responsibility, it's probably the one that, to me, as we were talking about it, it was the least tangible. I probably have tangible and intangibles in my mind because I've been thinking about the draft and Philip Sims coming, but yeah. I knew I had to throw that in there somewhere. But real responsibility was kind of the least tangible. But the more I thought about it, the more we talked about it, the more I realized that, man, real responsibility was it. It had been the key to the puzzle that I had been missing for many years. It had been the key to the puzzle that I had been reaching for, but didn't have words to describe it. I knew there was that a real devotional life lived out in real community was it, but it always felt like there was something else. And so I hope tonight that as we take a look briefly at real responsibility, that it will make the whole picture come into better focus for you tonight. I hope that you'll leave here excited about a life lived in the anchors, an anchored life. And so why don't we take a turn to John's Gospel, the very last chapter in John's Gospel, John 21. I'm going to read a story that has stuck out to me since my first year on the other side. My first year graduated when we were kind of working on the John core group study that some of you may have walked through. We're going to take a look starting in verse 20 to kind of set the backdrop. NIV subheading says Jesus reinstates Peter. Jesus shows up on the beach. The disciples are out there. They come in, breakfast, you know, fish, you know, feed my sheep. And then, yeah, that's not where I want to start, though. I want to start in verse 20. Peter and Jesus are talking. And Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. He's like, this is the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? And when Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? And Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. I just want to stop there. You know, look at this passage. Jesus and Peter are talking. They go for a little walk, and all Peter wants to talk about is John. Dude, Jesus, what about John? Like, really, Peter? That's the question you have for Jesus? Like, he's just raised himself from the dead. He's hanging out with you, and you want to ask, what about John? Like, you don't have any other questions. Like, this is the big one. Like, really? Really? And then the more I think about my own life, the more I do that with Jesus all the time. The more that, you know, as Jesus and I are talking, or as I'm, you know, learning a lesson, or studying scripture. I'm like, well, what about Katie? Don't you have something to tell her? What about Bubba? Boom. Now it's recorded. What about Josh Fairchild? Say something to him. What about Corey or Chibweze? Come on. How quickly I want to turn it on somebody else. How quickly I want to not make the conversation about me. I want to make the conversation about somebody else. How quickly I want to dodge the responsibility that Jesus has given me. That Jesus is giving us. You know, when I first came to this passage years ago, the words, what is that to you? You must follow me, rang in my ears, and I don't know that they ever will stop ringing in my ears. To think, what does that matter? Jesus says, I've got great plans for you. I've got a life lived in purpose and joy and prosperity for you. What does it matter what I do with John? Take responsibility for your own self, Peter. Take responsibility for your own self, Josh. And live the life that I have called you to in your own self. And so as we take a look at real responsibility, the anchor of real responsibility, I see it in two levels. And I see the first level of real responsibility being the responsibility for oneself. Being responsible for our own walks with Jesus. Being responsible for our own relationships with Jesus. So let me tell you one thing, fourth years. When you graduate, Lord willing, when you move somewhere else, LA, DC, Taiwan, anywhere in between, nobody else is going to be responsible for your walk with God. Whether or not you get up in the morning, whether or not you read your Bible at night, whether or not you foster a real devotional life, nobody else is going to be sitting there with you. That's up to you. I see this more and more in my own life, you know, as things get busy, as we have our second kid on the way, like, man, there are just times where just life has taken over. And my wife will not read my Bible for me. For years I've tried. But it's up to me. I have to take the responsibility for my own walk with God. I have to take the responsibility. Not only for the positive things, for my walk with God, but for the negative things. You know, the more and more I like see things that if I were to find myself in a bad situation or I find myself caught in a situation I don't want myself in, it's really easy in our culture to blame our accountability partner. Like, Josh Fairchild wasn't there. How could he let me down? No, I was there. I'm the one that needs to take responsibility. I'm the one who gets the privilege of taking responsibility. So for the rest of you, first year, second year, third years, Pete's already said it tonight. Home is a very hard place to live holy. I've seen that play out in my life as an undergraduate. I've seen that play out in my life as a working person. I started the Live Dead Journal last semester. I made it 10 days until Christmas. Yes, I stopped on Christmas Day, but it's because I went home. I was hanging out with my family. I got caught out of my rhythm, out of my routine. Things were happening. Things were going on all the time. And I was reminded of all those summers that I spent at home where it was like, I really could have taken another step forward, but I didn't take responsibility for it. And so I'd encourage the rest of you not sitting in this middle front section to take advantage of the summer that you have. To take responsibility for your summer. And to be excited about what God could have for you if you were to capture those moments. And so I know that that sounds a little bit harsh tonight, a little bit hard-hitting. I'm a little bit glad of that. But I'm also happier that the real responsibility doesn't stop there. That there is another level to real responsibility. And I believe that we have the responsibility as people who live in a vibrant community, as people who have real devotional life, as people who have real community, we have a responsibility for those around us. We've seen week in, week out, testimony in, testimony out, how the Christian life is one that is lived in community. And I believe that Jesus has given us that responsibility. To take responsibility for those around us. To be excited about what's going on in our brothers and in our sisters' lives. And to be a major part, a catalyst for change in those around us. And I believe that's witnessed in our passage tonight. We didn't read it, but Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." Peter, be responsible for those around you. Know that I've called you for more than just yourself. That you have to work a real devotional life out for your own. That you have to live in real community, and that you have to be responsible. Because I fully believe that real responsibility calls us to something greater than ourselves. And I believe that real responsibility calls us to take a part in the bigger picture. And in doing so, I think that we get to go on the adventure of a lifetime. That these anchors call us to something more than we could ever dream, more than we could ever imagine. The more and more that I talk with friends that have graduated, with students that I'm in relationship with, the more I realize that a life lived in Jesus is a life that is way better than any life that I could have ever imagined for myself. I had big hopes, I had big dreams, all these things that I wanted to do when I came to college. And then when I encountered Jesus in a real, tangible way, I realized that this is way better than anything I could have conjured up myself. That this life lived with a real devotional life in real community with real responsibility is better than I could have ever imagined. Joy, peace, purpose, excitement, laughter. I don't think I ever laughed as much as I've laughed in this community. And what a beautiful picture that is. And so I want to leave you tonight, I want to leave you this semester with this picture of the anchors. And I believe that if each one of us, that if we as a community took a hold of these three anchors, that we would change UVA, that we would change our own hearts, that we would change Taiwan, that we would change North Africa, Europe, the Northwest, the West Coast, the Southwest, the rest of the United States, the rest of the world. And so I can't encourage you enough take a hold of this, to see that these anchors are not just something that we made up that was catchy, but that this is it. So I'm going to call the worship band up. We're going to close with some worship. But as the worship band's coming up, I just want to read something from the end of Matthew's gospel that I got texted from a dear friend today. At the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus is speaking. I'm going to start in verse 17. The disciples, speaking of the disciples here, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And now I'm going to give it to you. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And then the kicker: "And surely I am with you always." Surely I am with you always, Jesus says, to the very end of the age. As we close our semester out, as we close our time out tonight, we're going to worship like it's our last time at Monday Night Live, because for some of you it is your last time at Monday Night Live. But as you go into this time of worship, I want you to know that a life lived in the anchors is one where Jesus says, "I am with you always. I am with you always. I will give you great purpose. I will give you great excitement. I will take you on adventures that you could have never dreamed of. And I will be with you every single step of the way." Would you stand with me? God, we just thank you for the chance to be here tonight. We thank you that you are the God that is with us. That you are the God who is here now. You are the God of this community, of these brothers, of these sisters. And so God, we just pray tonight as we close out a semester where we've learned that you are worth it all, that would be the cry of our hearts. God, I just pray that for each one of us here, that we would be able to step into what you would have for us tonight as we look at this anchored series, and that we would live lives of real devotion, in real community, with real responsibility. So God, we just thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Amen.